A blessed Sunday to all. Happy Resurrection Sunday to everyone. Last Friday, my wife and I, along with our two kids, we left the house early. And my mom, along with my two siblings, were left at home. But they told us that they'll just follow because there was a service here at the church. Remember, we had the 3 o'clock Good Friday service last Friday. And around 1 o'clock in the afternoon, my wife asked me, "Do you have your key of our house?" And I was wondering why she was asking me about the key. And it was then when I found out that my siblings and my mom just went out of the house. And when my brother, as the last person who left the house, locked it from the inside, and when he closed the door, it was only then that he realized that he left the key inside. And so he asked my sister and asked my mom, "Did you bring your key?" And both of them responded to him saying together, "No, we did not. Why are you asking?" And he said, "I locked the door and I left the key inside." So that was a problem. No wonder my wife was asking me if I brought my key, because that was the only hope for us to enter our house, lest we'll destroy the doorknob of our own house. Well, we get into trouble sometimes because of our forgetfulness. That's a reality. And it is inevitable sometimes for human beings like you and me to forget about something. No wonder there are people who's asking someone else around them, "Where is my eyeglasses?" And they realize the eyeglasses are just there on the top of their head. Some individuals would ask, "Did you find my phone?" When in fact they're just holding it in their hands. Someone like a carpenter would ask, "Where is the pencil that he used to mark some stuff as he does the carpentry, and he realizes that the pencil is just inserted in his ear. We forget several times. Some people would say that it's a senior problem, but that's not true, because senior moments can even happen among teenagers. Let's be honest here. At some point in life, we forgot about something already. And there were moments that we get into trouble just because we forgot something so important in life. Well, it's not new. That problem is not new in this generation. It happened even among the disciples. And worse than that, the disciples of Jesus forgot something that was considered unessential to their faith as they followed the Lord. Let's discover this forgetfulness of the disciples, and let's find out what trouble that they went through in their lives, and let's find out how this issue would have been avoided as we would follow Luke chapter 24, verses 1 to 9. Luke 24, 1 to 9, and this was the experience of the disciples. Let me read to you from the NASB 1995 edition. It says here, "But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothing. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, 'Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again.' And they remembered his words and returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest." May the good Lord bless the reading of his word. The disciples, after the death of Jesus, experienced some kind of spiritual disorientation, emotional desolation, and an experience of hopelessness in life. Why did I say that? When Jesus called them, I'm talking about the 12 disciples in particular, When Jesus called them to follow him, they started following him day after day. They observed his teachings. They observed the miracles that he performed. They observed how he related with the people around and how he did the ministry. They observed everything. And in the way they assess about all the things that he said and did, they came into a conclusion that he is the Messiah. In fact, one of them said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." So this Messiah is the person that they waited for many, many decades already, if not centuries. They waited for him. But at last, he's there with them already. And so when they observe all of these things about Jesus, all of those observations, the teachings that they heard, the miracles that they saw, all of those things became the foundation of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they became hopeful that this is it. This is the time that was promised in the Old Testament that we would be finally redeemed, set free from the colonizers that have been coming one decade after the other, one colony after the other that we became under these nations. And so they were so expectant and their hopes were so high, their expectations as well. Now, on that Friday afternoon, all of those expectations came crumbling down when Jesus died on the cross. What now? We hope already in him. We trusted that he is the Messiah. We trusted that he is the person who's going to redeem us and will establish again the kingdom of God over Israel. What now? Or so now, what's going to happen? He's dead. They experience spiritual disorientation. They experience emotional desolation. They experience a hopeless situation because Jesus died already. But they should have avoided such experiences. The spiritual disorientation, the emotional desolation, the difficult situation of having no hope in life, they should have avoided it if they did not forget something. Why did I say that they forgot something? Jesus died on a Friday afternoon. Within that day, he was buried because of the Sabbath. Sabbath in Israel starts when the sun sets within Friday. It ends when the sun sets on a Saturday. Okay? Some people understand that Sabbath happens in the entire Saturday. Starts in the morning, ends in the afternoon. No, that's not how they observe it. Sabbath starts in the afternoon of Friday when the sun sets. And it ends in the afternoon of Saturday when the sun sets again. Now, Jesus died in the afternoon of Friday and they had to make things in a hurry so that he will be buried. And after that moment that they buried the Lord, they lived their lives in sadness. They lived their lives in spiritual disorientation. What's going to happen next? We don't have hope already. They lived their lives with that emotional desolation. We don't know how to carry through ourselves after the death of our master. It was like a dead end for the disciples. But they should have avoided, or they could have avoided it, if they did not forget something. They forgot something so important. What was that? Going back to the text that we read, verse 1 would tell us that the women went to the tomb of Jesus bringing the spices which they had prepared. They brought the spices. What are they going to do in front of the tomb or in the tomb of Jesus? Are they going to celebrate something, bringing some gasolette, and they'll cook something, those spices that they brought? Just like how we do in the Day of the Dead, that we go to cemeteries and then we bring a basket filled with food and we have fellowship there. We stay there for quite some time. We eat, we enjoy the moment as we remember the lives of those dead loved ones. Is it how they will do it that back then as well? No. They brought the spices not for them to celebrate in the way of eating. They brought the spices for the dead body of Jesus. The intention was not for themselves to be fed, but it was for the dead body. The spices were so aromatic that it would prevent the decaying body to become so bad in their midst as they visit the tomb. And they cannot enter the tomb easily because it was covered by a huge stone. They visited the tomb expecting for a dead body, meaning they really forgot something that Jesus told them about many times in the earlier part of the narrative. Looking at the book of Luke, because we are studying Luke 24, let's look at the earlier chapter of this book, earlier chapters of this book, and we will find out that for several times, Jesus told them about something so important for Christians, for the believers, for the disciples. What were those things? Let's look at chapter 9, verses 21 to 22. In chapter 9, 21 to 22, you would see there that Jesus predicted to his disciples that he's going to be handed to the religious leaders, that they will maltreat him, that he will be crucified, he will die, and that on the third day he will rise again. Looking at the same chapter, verses 33 and 34, you would see there as well that Jesus predicted to them that he's going to suffer. Looking at chapter 18 of the same book, beginning with 31 up to 34, you would see there for another time, Jesus told his disciples, you know, our fellowship, our being together will not last for long. I will be handed over to the hands of sinful men. They will kill me. I'll be crucified on the third day. I will rise again. So over and over, Jesus told them about this matter. The problem is they forgot. It entered through their ears. It just went through the other side of it. And it went to the air. It was totally gone. And they suffered the spiritual disorientation, the emotional desolation, the situation of being a hopeless person. Why? Because they forgot what Jesus told them about. And the verse 1 that we have seen here, that they visited the tomb bringing spices for the dead body, that warrants that they forgot. Added to that, when they arrived at the tomb of Jesus, from a distance, they saw that it was opened already. The covering was rolled away. It was a huge stone that they used to cover tombs that cannot be easily rolled away, especially by women. Because during this morning, those were women that visited the tomb of Jesus. So from a distance, they saw that it was rolled away and they became curious about what was happening. When they saw the stone rolled away, that should have reminded them already that they were visiting no longer a dead person. But still, they did not remember what Jesus told them about. So they went inside the tomb. When they got inside, the body wasn't there. That should have reminded them already about what Jesus told them about, but still they could not remember. They totally forgot about it. And while they were perplexed about the matter, there were two heavenly beings that appeared to them. Some translations use the term angels. They appeared to them and they said something like this, "Why are you looking for the living in the place of the dead?" That must have given a clue. But still, they did not remember it. They totally forgot what Jesus told them about until verse 6. Let's look at verse 6 and 7. Verse 6, "He is not here, but he has risen. Remember this command. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee." What are they to remember? Verse 7. "Saying to you that the Son of Man will be or must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise again." What's the following statement after that reminder? Verse 8, "And they remembered his words." It was only the moment that the women who went to the tomb remember the exact words of Jesus, meaning They totally forgot about it. And that was the reason why during Friday and Saturday, their faces were frowning, I believe. Their hearts were so discouraged. Their spirits were so low. They were going through spiritual disorientation. They were going through emotional desolation, living a life of hopelessness back then. But they could have avoided it if they did not forget. But they forgot. You know, there are many troubles that we experience in life emotionally, mentally, just because we forgot something. And this can happen in many aspects of our lives. But listen very carefully about what happened to the disciples or to the women. When the angels or when these men, heavenly beings, told them about what Jesus informed them about in the earlier part of the story, it was the moment of an opening of their minds, recalling what was told them about, and then I believe there was a change of emotions. Friday, Biyernes Santo ang ilahang nawong. Saturday, Sabado Santo ang ilahang dagway. Why did they have those kinds of feelings or emotions? Because they forgot something. Now it was Sunday in the morning. They carried the same emotions. They carried the same burden. And yet when the angels told them about what Jesus informed them in the earlier part of the narrative, there was a change of perspective. They were sad. They were feeling down. And yet after they remembered in verse 9, they returned from the tomb and they reported all of these things to the 11 and to all the rest. When they reported these things, I believe there was an excitement. I believe there was a joy. I believe they were happy telling them about what happened when they visited the tomb. It was not a way of telling someone, you know, someone died last Friday and he's alive today. It's not like that. When you put your hope on someone and that someone seemingly is gone, you lost your hope as well along that moment when that person is gone. But when he comes back, there you are. Finally, I found you again. It was on that similar scenario when they lost Jesus on a Friday afternoon. They felt so bad about it. Their hope was totally gone. And yet when Jesus was announced to be alive, the emotions was totally changed. The perspective was transformed just because they now remembered. How many troubles we get into this life just because we forget something? And reality is that in our Christian life, when we go through difficult moments, when there is a sickness that would come into our body, when there is lackness in the way we see our finances, we feel so bad. We feel and forget as if God is not our master. We feel and forget as if God is not our shepherd. We forget about the Lord and we start thinking about our situation. And what happens if we forget who God is and what He said and what He does and what He can do? If we forget about all of those things, it's the moment that the enemy will start dictating in our hearts and minds. The beginning of our forgetfulness about God is the beginning of our defeat, because the enemy would come and tell you, yes, luoy gyud kayo ka. And you'll start feeling self-pity. And you start isolating yourself. And you'll start not talking to anybody. And you'll start not reporting to your job. And you'll start becoming unproductive in life if we listen to the dictation of the enemy. Just simply we forgot who our God is and what He can do. When there is an ailment that would touch our physical body, sometimes we feel that it's the end of everything, forgetting that God is our healer. When an issue in relationships would happen among our family, sometimes we forget that He is the God who mends broken relationship, that if He can heal your relationship before the holy God, you as a sinful person, I myself as a sinful person, if He was able to reconcile me with that holy God, how much more the relationships within the family? And yet when we begin to forget that God can do something in our conundrum, when God is seemingly forgotten in a difficult situation, it is the moment of the beginning of our defeat as well. Because the enemy would come and will start injecting something in our mind. Oftentimes, the battleground is our head. It is often the battleground. The enemy cannot read what you think. He may interpret what you think based on your action, based on your reaction, based on your expressions. He may have some way of reading about what you think, but he cannot exactly see what's inside us. But he can inject things into our minds, especially when we forget what God can do. Well, the disciples were told by the angels to remember what God told them about, that He is alive. And it entirely changed the way they see their situations. Now, what are we going to remember this time about Jesus? Other than the fact that He is alive and that we serve a risen King, I think we should remember as well these words that He uttered. Every Friday in many churches among evangelical circles, we preach about the seven last words of Jesus. Well, those are important words and statements that came from the mouth of the Lord. But here are seven things that I want us always to remember as well. What are they? The seven I ams of Jesus. This is important. You know why? In the Old Testament, when God told Moses, "You go to Egypt and set my people free," when Moses heard about this command of God for him to do, he asked the Lord, "Lord, what if the people there would ask me, what is the name of that person who sent you? What is the name of the God who sent you, who ordered you to set us free? What shall I answer them?" And God told Moses, "You tell them, I am who I am." That's what he said to Moses. It's kind of a peculiar name that he addressed to himself. But it's like a general statement about him. I am who I am. And yet in the history of the Bible, that I am who I am was never claimed by anybody else in the Old Testament except God alone. But in the New Testament, Jesus, as he spoke before his disciples, said seven times, saying, "I am." When he said the words, "I am," these words allude to the statement of God about who he is. And listen very carefully from the book of John in different chapters. For seven times, Jesus said, "I am." First, he said, "I am the bread of life." In John chapter 6, 35, 41, 48, and 51. He is the bread of life that brings satisfaction to the hunger and thirst of every soul. But he's not only the person, the God who addresses the need of our spiritual aspect of life. He's the same God who addresses our physical needs day after day. Added to that, John 8, 12, he said, "I am the light of the world. We live in a dark world because of the dominion of the devil in this place. But we who are in Christ are no longer living in darkness only because of Christ, who is the light himself. He snatched us out of darkness and placed us as part of his family, the family that belongs to the light." And Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." Now in John chapter 10, 7 and 9, he said, "I am the door of the sheep." In other words, if somebody would claim, "I belong to Jesus," and yet that person does not believe in him as the door, as the gateway, as the only passage to be part of God's family, then that designates only that that person is in the false ideology or understanding. And he said in John chapter 11, verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. Nobody claimed about this before. The ingenuity of man was able to conquer the force of gravity, that we can fly by plane even if it is made up of metal, that we can sail on a boat even if the boat is too heavy, that it weighs tons and tons, and that it can float in the ocean. Man's ingenuity has surpassed even the law of gravity. But among all of these inventions that human beings had, there is never a point in history of mankind that we have overcame death, that we have overcame sin. Nothing and no one can ever claim that, only Jesus himself. And so when we celebrate the Resurrection Sunday today, it is coming from the fact when he said, I am the resurrection and the life. In John chapter 10, 11 and 14, he said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd, when we say good, it is not only that he is useful for us, but when we look at God in his goodness, it talks about his very nature. It cannot be moved or taken away from him. He is good all the time. And as your shepherd, he takes care of you. As our caretaker, he watches over us. He provides for our needs. He provides not only the needs physically, but he provides even for our spiritual needs. He guides us day after day. When he calls himself our shepherd, we shall be confident about it. In John chapter 14, verse 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There is no truth away from Jesus. And in 15, 1 and 5, he said, I am the true vine. Any branch that is taken away from the vine will never become fruitful in life. And thus, fruitfulness in the context of Christianity shall only be experienced when that person is attached to the true vine, no other than Jesus himself. When we remember these I ams of the Lord, I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world, I am the door of the sheep, I am the resurrection and the life, I am the good shepherd, I am the way, the truth, and the life, I am the true vine. All of these I ams would help us navigate properly in life. That even if there is a conundrum, even if there is an issue that we are going through, even if there is a problem that would pass through in our lives, we will be able to navigate properly. That we will never be experiencing spiritual disorientation. That we will not experience emotional desolation and a life of hopelessness, all because we remember who He is. We have to remember whom we serve, the God that we worship, the I ams, both of the Old and New Testament. That is the Christ that we worship. My friends, you may still have problems in life, even if you are a Christian. That won't excuse you and me. We are still subjected to problems in life, relational issues. We can still be exposed to immoral things. We can still be susceptible to viruses, even if you all have the faith that can move mountains. It's still possible. Why? We are living in this fallen world. We are subjected to everything. But in the midst of painful situations, you and I will be able to navigate well if we will not forget who He is. That is why the command of the angels to the women who visited the tomb, remember. Remember what he told you when you were still with him in Galilee. Lest we forget, we will never, never, ever be able to navigate with life's problems properly. But when we remember the kind of God that we serve, the power that he has, the grace that he gives, the love that he has for you day after day, then you will remain immovable even in the midst of a storm. May this Resurrection Sunday message bring hope in our lives day after day, even if we are subjected to a problem in this life we have. With that, let's always be hopeful as we continue to remember about what Christ has done, who He is, and what He said for all of us. God bless you all, and happy Resurrection Sunday to everyone.